This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here we go, Hour 4, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Rangers won earlier, 6-2. Mavs hosting the Lakers tonight. And we'll talk more about that coming up in the Expressway in 20 minutes. It's time for an edition of Football's Finest, though. Here's Eric Chiafalo.
Thank you very much, 877-881-1053. We have some Instagramming from TJ Watt, who's got 1 year left on his contract, and he's just given up the peace sign in his in his Steelers uniform. So he's doing the social media negotiations. Steelers fans are crumbling right now out of fear that they might lose their guy, TJ Watt, to do a contractual disagreement. But let that deal get done before Micah and watch the money keep going up and up and up for our number 11.
Yeah, what's that going to be? He's going to get 41?
I mean, most people are thinking TJ Watt would get roughly what Myles Garrett just got.
Sure.
The market's been reset. He's a legend, not necessarily in his prime anymore. So it'll be interesting to see how the Steelers play it. But yeah, the assumption is that TJ Watt will end up sort of resetting the market once again.
At 30 years old, wow, that seems risky. Pittsburgh, I might call his bluff.
Isn't Myles Garrett 30? No, I think Myles Garrett is a better player, and you feel more confident in giving him the dollar figure. But yeah,
he's 29.
So
just a year younger. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot there for the Steelers. We'll see how they go about approaching that because, yeah, I think just all biases aside, resetting what is already a fat, fat market at the edge rusher spot with a guy that age who's probably closer to the end than the beginning. I don't know if that's what you want to do, but like I said, he's one of their now most historical players in that franchise's history.
What if you shot for like $36 million instead of 40? Think you could?
Why
get
would you want to do that?
If you're TJ Watt or if you're the Steelers?
If you're the Steelers.
Yeah, if you're the Steelers, I think that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, hey, the Browns kind of overshot this thing quite a bit.
Yeah,
we'll still make you the second highest paid, but it doesn't have to be quite to 40.
I'm going to ask a really unfair question here because I don't think we all watch Raider football a bunch or watch Steeler football a bunch, but who's better between him and Crosby?
That's a good question.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's an unfair question because we're so locked in on our team we cover here. I know.
I think Crosby's still a little bit more of an ascending player, and he's been an Iron Man. I think that would be maybe the difference
there. He doesn't come off the field at all.
He doesn't even miss snaps, dude. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous.
So if you probably feel like then, with that being the case, that Crosby's a better player.
I would say so, yes.
Then I try and shoot between $35 and $36 million. I would try and make him the same is Crosby if I could. I would not try and get to Myles Garrett if that helps you any.
Yeah, no, that does. I don't know. I think TJ Watt will probably take this to the end here and try and
better
squeeze
than Nick
every
Bosa?
Dollar.
Again, I'm asking San Francisco 49er, you watch every game kind of a thing.
I would think that Bosa is better. And again, you're just talking about a guy who's more
in
his prime.
There's $34 million. You still want to go down?
Not if I'm TJ.
But in reality, if I wonder if he, I wonder if Pittsburgh could get this deal done if they put him just under Myles Garrett's under 40. If you put it at 36,
it's probably what they're trying to do. They have a lot of time till training camp.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll get it figured out one way or another. I can't imagine him playing somewhere
else. You guys just named two players that's better than him.
Yeah, but that's not always how it goes.
I understand that, but in my mind, that's what I'm trying to.
I mean, we know the Cowboys would ultimately end up caving to him and letting him reset the market, you know. But yeah, I don't know how the Steelers are going to handle this.
Well, do the same thing with Micah then. Better than Max Crosby. Okay.
I will say yes.
Put you on the spot there. Micah's better than him?
I will say Micah is better.
Okay, then I can't play the game anymore. Because I was going to, if you said he's better than Max, if he wasn't better than Max Crosby, then I would ask you, is he better than Nick Bosa?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think he is more of a disruptor than both of those guys.
Okay. Then he needs to fall closer to that $40 million range than he does the 35 or 34 that we're talking about with those guys.
And he's getting paid in the prime of his career. Like mm-hmm. those guys both just did. TJ Watt is now more towards the end.
Yeah.
Over 30. So Micah's going to get all the juice out of this. And he actually tweeted out last night. He says, I think I'm going to play this year bald headed, y'all.
Yeah, I saw that. I wonder if he's getting some male pattern baldness and just decided to rip it like Baskey did at 24 years old.
And brought us, right?
I was a sophomore in college. We did that stupid thing.
That's painful.
20 years old.
It's painful.
Yeah, I was literally 20 years old, yeah.
I mean, I had guys in high school that were, it was pretty alarming. The
receding hairline?
Yes. Yeah. It was, I mean, even in high school, dude. So,
I mean, they say it's a sign of high testosterone. So, go
that's
get
what
them
they slugging. Say.
That's to help you sleep at night, right?
The first guy who had it.
Feel
the first guy who had it said that.
Thanks.
It's
thanks,
really
Dawson,
a sign of high
great.
Testosterone, really, if you look it up. Yeah. That's what it really
you know what
is.
They say about bald guys.
I would like to know the
you
origins.
You guys are idiots.
What's the origins of that particular statement there? I'm sure Lucius has that
I'll
right.
I'll take the hair, please.
That's incredible. Okay, so now we have the Jalen Milroe. I'm sure you guys met when I was out on Monday, Jalen Milroe committing to attending the draft. In Green Bay.
Yeah.
And you've had some people question whether or not like he's actually going to get selected in the first round. You would think if he's committing to go to the draft and be subject to all the scrutiny involved with the Aaron Rodgers, the Will Levis, you know, there's been a handful of guys over the years that sit around and have to wait either a long time or just into round number two. You don't get drafted at all on night one. That's always a bummer. So when he commits to doing that, you're thinking like, okay, then this guy's probably getting a pretty good feel from teams around the league that you're going to be picked in the first round, which tells me that's probably going to be four quarterbacks in the first round in a class that is not that respected.
Jalen Milroe, first round quarterback, that would be awesome. I think either he got that or, you know, he wants to go do the experience and they said, we can't be sure. But he's like, fine, I'll take the deal. You know? Well, nobody, I would just want the people to be transparent with
me. Yeah, nobody wants to sit through that green room thing if you don't get picked and they keep putting the camera on you and stuff. And then you have to leave the draft and then you have to hang around in Green Bay. Or do you just
remember
go
when they
home?
Had the fake beer in Johnny's hand when he was sitting there? Do you remember that draft? We got butt cracked. There was a Johnny Manziel draft night. Somebody like photoshopped a beer into his hand while he was sitting in the green room. It's pretty epic.
Oh, that is epic. I did not know about that particular. I mean, I've been watching the draft for forever, but I don't remember that meme. Well, that's pretty funny.
What if the Eagles were to take Milroe at 32?
Wow. And do the same thing basically that they did with the Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, but
how would you compare Hurts and other guys, Milroe coming out of college?
See, Milroe's got a rocket arm. He's more athletic. He's faster. I mean, there's, like I say, you're getting down to that and you're kind of thinking about what do you really want to do with, I know with Hurts.
But how similar is it? What was your grade on Hurts? What's your grade on Milroe?
I have Milroe in the fourth.
Okay.
I had Hurts in the second. But I wonder if you're talking about a place for him to go.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia would be, I mean, make a lot of sense there, wouldn't it?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
If you're thinking about maybe two
just
more,
trying to be like this guy.
Yeah, two more years of Hurts. You kind of got to get Milroe. You get him up to speed, and then you make the switch. You know, but your offense doesn't lose anything because now your guy's kind of worked on his technique. He maybe got him some plays that he could run. He worked on his accuracy. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't put it past Howie.
That would
They seem pretty locked in with Hurts. Like maybe they got a formula.
Oh, yeah. They picked him in the second round.
I mean, they did it to Wentz. So, yeah. I mean, you got the point right there. Yeah. This is a team that's not going to stop looking for its best chance to get a generational talent back there.
Yeah.
It's what they said when they drafted Hurts, and it wouldn't surprise me if they went back to that well this year.
Apparently, NFL scouts believe Jalen Milroe's pro comp is Justin Fields.
Ouch. That's
what Jeremy Fowler said. The frequent comp he gets from scouts around the league about Milroe.
Man, they're both
top five.
They're both similar when it comes to, you can watch that tape of him running around with the ball. You know,
he will step in day one and be one of the best running.
There's no question.
Quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, can you get him to control the passing? He against Georgia the first half of that game, you would pick him in the top five. And then you watch the Michigan game, you watch that Wink Martindale confuses him and stuff like that, and it's, you know, looks like a fourth round guy.
So Mike Vrabel gave his first speech to Patriots players. It's gone viral today. It was like 3.5 minutes or so that went viral. But leave phones in your bag, be on time, don't be late, hoods down during meetings, no maids and valet at the team facility. Talking about treating all the employees there for the Patriots with the utmost respect.
No what's in the valet?
No maids and valet at the team facility. Like basically like the people that work here that are here to help us and all that stuff, the chefs, the trainers, all these things. He's like laying the groundwork for like this is how it's supposed to go. But I thought it was interesting because I heard Dane Brugler talking about just like draft hypotheticals. And he's like, well, what's stopping the Patriots from taking a guy like Ashton Jeanty at 4?
Yeah.
We keep talking about Ashton Jeanty probably going as early, like it seems like the earliest we've seen in mocks is him at 6 to the Raiders. And it seems very likely between 6 and 10, like this dude's getting picked. But in a draft where you don't necessarily love the linemen and you don't need a quarterback.
I believe this all along.
Ashton Jeanty at 4 to the Patriots, that would be a fun draft night wrench that has not really been mocked or discussed very much.
Yeah.
If Jeanty flies off the board and then all of a sudden it pushes linemen down too, like a Will Campbell, because everybody thinks it's probably going to be Will Campbell or Membu for Missouri, because the Patriots need offensive line and that still makes the most sense. They've got some vets, Morgan Moses, to come and play some tackles. Like they could technically get by. I think the best team building strategy, if there was a surefire lineman that was just a no-brainer, I think that would just be a lock. Mm-hmm. But because there's not, there's a chance that Jeanty, he's probably going to be the best player on their board when they're on the clock at 4, if they're being honest with themselves.
Yeah.
If they're not doing the positional value type of thing.
If him or Hunter were there, I'd be interested to see.
And this started because the Hunter stuff, who felt like maybe he could be there at 4, now feels like he's going number 2 to the Browns. Sure. So all of a sudden, maybe the Giants go Carter at 3, the pass rusher, and then at 4 you're going, well, man, the best player on our board might go ahead and be Jeanty. There you go, Drake May, Jeanty, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I didn't hear. And by the way, Dane's Beast is out today. So happy.
Oh, today's Beast Day?
Happy Beast Day to everybody there.
Doesn't that seem like a Mike Vrabel thing to do, though? Take a runner at 4?
Sure.
Absolutely, I can see that.
Just go old school.
Well, but that's what we've kind of said all along. This might be the best player in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But what did Brugler say at 2 about Cleveland? I didn't get to hear the podcast. Did you remember what he said about Cleveland? Hunter? Did he have Hunter there?
Yeah, and he wasn't but he was just hypothetical stuff now with what
he knows what the Browns are doing.
Right.
He knows what they're thinking.
And all signs at this point seem to be it's Travis Hunter going
there
2.
There you go.
He
knows.
Patriots are sitting there at 4 going, okay, what are we going to do here? Do we want to take a lineman we kind of like, or do we want to go ahead and just
Campbell,
take our best player?
Jeanty, Campbell,
that's
what they're thinking.
That'll be interesting. Draft night's always amazing. Can't wait to be at Pluckers, man. April 24th, Thursday night. It's going to be phenomenal. Cowboys, by the way, are signing former Commanders and Titans offensive lineman Sadiq Charles out of retirement. Former fourth-round pick out of LSU.
Got to go back and look at that one.
National champions. So just getting some more depth there. Apparently, according to Joseph Hoyt of All City Dallas, Charles was on pace to win a starting guard spot last season with the Titans before he just up and retired.
Hated football,
I guess. Yeah. And then he reinstates, Titans release him, and now the Cowboys got a chance at him. So taking a flyer there. So
who knows? Maybe he got in shape, in better shape. Maybe he got stronger in the offseason, you know? Out of the NFL's purview, you're able to do all sorts of things.
I'd love to see it.
Had a good 6 weeks to, rest up and everything and get back in the game.
Fresh legs.
I got you. I feel you,
fam. What do most NFL linemen do that are retired?
Fish.
Well, they actually lose like 100 pounds.
Yeah, they get real skinny. They get the big heads.
They lose 100 pounds and then they go on TV and tell you, like, you know, they're like the analysis guy.
Yeah.
Like they're the Jeff Saturdays and all those guys. They get real tiny.
Jeff Saturday be on TV looking like a Siberian husky. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue ass eyes. I get lost in his eyes. I'm like, what is he saying? I don't know what he's saying, but I'm just staring at this dude.
Especially the white in his beard now, beautiful, the salt and pepper look.
Yeah.
See, the linemen always shrink. Isn't it the running backs, for the most part, they that start big. To balloon a little bit?
The running backs get thick. They get real big.
Yeah.
Them linemen, they get small with the head, big lollipop heads.
And the receivers just stay the same.
Crazy big heads, bro.
The receivers just stay the same.
They do.
It's like, there's Randy Moss, years later, looking like he can still play today. You just look at his face.
Yeah. They walk around like old little basketball players, though. Walk like it hurt a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Ouch.
Got that Kenny Smith walk going a little bit. Yeah. All right, here. Let's play some sound here because it looks like we have a very exciting nomination. Sports Emmy in the Outstanding Documentary Series category for the New York Giants, The Gift That Keeps On Giving, their Hard Knocks offseason appearance where the GM and the owner are discussing how they're about to likely lose Saquon Barkley. This 30 seconds of Hard Knocks is up for a Sports Emmy.
Yeah.
And the running back, I think.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not. Mm.
Good job.
Which I don't know if I'll make a couple of calls. I don't even know if that's gonna happen, but
I'm gonna have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that. As I've told you, just being out. I've been around enough players. He's the most popular player we have by far.
Yeah.
Ouch. So that particular scene right there where the owner, John Mara, is warning his front office about losing Saquon Barkley to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Truly the gift that keeps on giving there. It's phenomenal. And that's why that particular 30 seconds that's about to be awarded with an Emmy is the reason why no team in the sport wants to do the off-season Hard Knocks
there
thing. Because this is the aftermath.
Yeah.
I can't believe he didn't fire everybody after that. I mean, Mara's been a legendary owner.
They've been turning and burning quite a bit, though, over the last decade, I guess.
That's tough. As big of a screw up as that
John
was,
Mara walking down the hall.
That was behind the scenes with John Mara
punching a Bill Parcells picture on the wall.
An iconic mess up for the New York Giants, no doubt. I think compared to what the Mavs did, it's maybe a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10.
By the way, Joe,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wish we had some surveillance of those conversations.
Yeah.
Dumont and Nico just talking out of their rear ends.
Mark Cuban calling in on the other line. Don't do it, guys. Yeah. I should still be the governor. Go away, Mark. It's our show now.
Yeah. You wouldn't have been able to afford him anyways, Mark. We all know it.
So you're trying to make the trade? Is that what you say you want to do? I'll meet you at the coffee shop, whatever you're going to be at.
Yeah.
He says he wants to do it. You say, are you sure?
Yeah.
Is that verbal?
We don't need Austin Reeves. No, it's fine. No, don't you move. Can keep one of those first round picks as well.
Do not call anybody. Okay. We'll be right there.
Don't move, brother.
Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Our Draft 101 is next Thursday night.
Yes, sir.
And we're excited about that.
Oh, Draft 101. Yeah,
Draft 101. The draft a couple Thursdays away, but Draft 101 next week with Broadus and Woolchuck and Bobby Belt and DallasCowboys.com. And Whataburger is going to be there. Giveaways completely free. And we want you all to show up here at 4131 North Central Expressway and join us. Next Thursday night after the show, it'll be an amazing time to learn about all these draft prospects and talk Cowboys that brought us.
Yeah, real quick, if we can encourage you to, if you're not a fan of the Dallas Cowboys and you're a fan of another team, but you're a fan of the draft, please show up.
There you go.
You know, I mean, hey, we'd love to. I know last year at this time, a guy from the Lions said, hey, listen, I didn't want to upset people. Oh, man, come in. You know, if you're a guy, gal, want to get your question answered, we you know, if you say, hey, the Buccaneers are looking at, we can help you there.
Yeah.
We can tell you the players that they probably picked. So, we encourage you. If you're a Cowboy fan, not a Cowboy fan, a fan of the draft, we'd love to have you around.
Yeah. All football fans invited.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, Broadus is sitting up there on the stage like Rob Lowe with the NFL shield hat on. He's going for all 32 here.
We'll hit the expressway. What do you think of the Mavs' plans here to welcome Luka back to the AAC tonight? We'll get you caught up on everything developing. Big news out of Lubbock. Look at what Tech got back, and we're back in the Nation.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it.
When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Yeah, if you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels' go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. Okay, let's hit this. All right, let's get you caught up on everything, you know, developing in the world of sports today. There's a lot of attention being paid to the AAC right now, and the Mavs hosting the Lakers tonight. Let's swing out to Lubbock real quick, though, as JT Toppin, Big 12 Player of the Year, announced he is coming back for his junior season. That's a huge get. The NIL money must be flowing out there in West Texas. Maybe he tapped into some oil rigs.
They do. They have a billionaire alum, young guy, that just sold his company, I think, for $4.6 billion.
There you go.
So they've got, they've got an NIL collective group that's doing well out there at Texas Tech for those kids. So look for the basketball and football to keep it rolling out
nice.
There.
Yeah, I mean, their transfer portal stuff has been pretty impressive.
Their football transfer has been unreal.
And I think their basketball
stuff. Joey McGuire and them have done a great job,
I always felt like if I'd grown up in Texas and I went to a Big 12 school, it would have been Tech.
It's fun.
I was out there for a couple of games a long time ago, but it was an amazing time. It seemed like a place where I'd fit in well.
Yeah, you'd like it because one day it's 85 degrees and then the next day it's 26.
I would not like that.
I've seen baseball out there before. Gone to a day game and then the next day it was snowing at the game.
Toppin's turn puts Tech in the top 10 nationally, puts him in the preseason All-American team. Yeah. One of the best players in the country, won the Big 12 awards. He posted double-doubles in all four NCAA tournament games, averaging 20 and 11. Yeah. He had games with 41 and 15, 32 and 12, 30 and 14 against Colorado towards the end of the season. So definitely a superstar college player coming back for his junior year. That's huge. Okay, the top story, though, is the Mavs trying to, make this a memorable and positive night as best they can. I don't know if I'm Nico Harrison if I like this. But on every seat right now at the AAC, as fans get in there for the 7:30 tip tonight, you're getting a T-shirt that says "Thank you for everything" in Slovenian. You know, kind of celebrating the Luka return. Apparently, Tim McMahon reported they tried to get a bunch of sponsorship deals together to make a bunch of money out of this. So maybe this was part of the plan to roll out this massive Luka return red carpet and make money off of it and give something to the fans and, you know, try to create a little bit of closure or something. I just think, to me, it speaks to how tone deaf everybody in the organization is. And anybody over there that does know what time it is isn't able to speak their mind. And that's kind of consistent with the culture that Nico has created, where if you were speaking out against his agenda, it was a very clear message that your thoughts weren't welcome. And it was time to get on board with, you know, his plan. So, you know, I don't know. Because of that, I kind of assumed this couldn't happen without Nico's blessing. But just so many interesting things going into tonight. I can't wait to take it all in. What are you guys looking forward to?
Oh, dude, I'm looking forward to a lot here. I mean, this is the first time around watching him when it was in L.A., the first matchup versus the Mavs. That was the strangest sports watching experience of my entire life. I would expect tonight to be very, very similar. I would expect tonight to have the most gold jerseys in a road arena that we've ever seen before. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out what would be a funnier situation in terms of how this all plays out. Because I think most people, and the Tolo should text in, like, what is your objective tonight? In a perfect world, how does this all play out? Do the Mavs get crushed? Does Luka go on one of these all-time 60-plus point nights? Does Luka struggle tonight? Like, I'm curious to take the temperature, but I think for the most part, everybody wants to see Luka go crazy. And then whether the Lakers win or not, kind of who cares? But I think everybody wants to see Luka go crazy. But I'm wondering what type of preparations the in-arena staff has, you know, called down from Nico and Dumont If at any point Luka gets banged up in this game, I'm expecting an "I told you so" banner to drop from the rafters. I'm expecting confetti to start raining down on the fan base.
Balloons.
Let Luka limp off with a calf strain tonight.
Nico will fire up a cigar.
Oh, absolutely.
Red Auerbach.
Him and Dumont will be shirtless at center court, just double barreling the entire arena.
Shotgunning beers.
John Gruden's like, "What are they doing? I don't know, but I'm not sure.
Never seen this before."
And there's going to be a banner. An "I told you so" bleep you banner the moment Luka stubs his toe, rolls his ankle, calf strain, whatever it is. Second night of it back to back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's on the table. That's also on the table for Anthony Davis. I think it's most poetic for both of them to go down for the season tonight.
Wow. That would be a story for the ages. But I don't think it would be unexpected. I mean, the strained calf is what took KD out. You know, so maybe Nico feels like the strained calf is going to be a torn Achilles for Luka anytime now. And if that happens,
you're not wishing for injury.
Oh, by the way, you'd never do that. I mean, I was never the biggest Luka fan. I always think that the team's more important than the individual player. But no, I mean, the torn Achilles is just like
the worst thing to possibly root to happen.
The worst is a kidney stone.
I'd never worked on that anybody.
But a strained calf tonight, you know. Something that he could eventually overcome from, but maybe would knock them out in the first round. I wouldn't mind that.
I'm expecting confetti. Injury confetti. If Luka gets banged up tonight. Now, it seems like the text is pretty on fire with wanting Luka to have just a historic night of epic proportions.
Yeah.
40-plus, 50-plus, 60-plus, 70-plus, triple-doubles, making it rain, and then doing the... When he's in assassin mode, he's just going to be eyeballing... Nico, I can't wait to see where Nico's sitting tonight.
Yes.
Is he just right there? Is he going to be there? Personal? Is Dumont sitting courtside?
Yeah.
We know Dirk's going to be in the building.
Yeah. For sure.
And Luka's out for blood. Yeah. Luka's wearing all black to the arena tonight. He's about to go scorched. I think that's... And the thing about Luka was always the case.
Fueled on the road.
Yes. And...
Focused.
And the first quarters, like, he's usually the come out with the bang kind of dude. And he's had epic moments late in games, big shots. But remember, it was Kyrie in the fourth quarter that
Kyrie
was doing a lot of the heavy
fourth.
Lifting.
Yeah, it's Luka for three, and then in the fourth, like, Luka plays defense because he doesn't shoot anymore.
That's what ticks me off about tonight is we're sitting in here. Why are we doing 6:30? Why are we doing 6:30 tip-offs?
We got a
late
game.
ESPN
yes, early game?
Yeah, does ESPN have another late game?
Yeah, they do the doubleheader stuff, but this should have been the headliner.
Who's the second game?
I couldn't even tell you, dude. I really don't even care. It's all about this particular game for me tonight. But when I woke up this morning to check the time, I'm like, why is this a 6:30? And I'm sure it'll tip off
Nuggets
at more like 6:45 or whatever. But
ooh.
Yeah, that's disappointing for me because I think if Luka is going to be otherworldly tonight, it's going to be hard and fast in those first 15 minutes of the game. His first quarters, it's where, there was a 20-point quarter for Luka. And he's the king of going 20 points in the first quarter and finishing the game with 31.
I do expect a 20-point first quarter. I think he needs to just shoot, 40, 50 times tonight. Try to do something historic.
Steph Curry kind of a game?
Yes, absolutely. You know, go for 75 points. Go for 80 points. I think, you know, in a lot of games, any great player could go target Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points. Guys, I'm taking all the shots tonight. It's my night. But it's not in the best interest of winning, right? Now, in this situation, the Lakers need a win after losing last night. They're still battling for the third seed. But that would be amazing. What kind of Luka predictions do you have here at 877-881-1053?
You know, I think one of the more interesting things from the McMahon article today, too, was just the amount of big picture money that the organization has lost or what they're expecting to lose.
Yeah.
He says
hundreds of millions
probably cost the franchise nine figures over the next several years. The Mavs are projected to lose dozens of millions in revenue this season due to dwindling crowds, plummeting merchandise sales, and sponsors severing ties with the franchise in the wake of the trade. So many fans canceled season tickets in the days after the trade. They've attempted to generate some goodwill by offering limited refunds, but not only is the basketball side of this just so maddening, but this is affecting the pockets as well in a huge way. Like, you didn't want to pay the big money extension to them. Well, how much money are you going to lose now for punting on it?
And I love it.
What a play by me.
We need everybody to pull their advertising. We need everybody to stop going. Stop buying tickets. Stop buying merchandise. Force the Adelsons to sell. That's where this needs to progress tomorrow. After we've, you know, gotten a little bit of closure, going and saying goodbye to Luka, watching him play in the Lakers... The next thing has to be, we need to make this unviable for them. Okay. Either take the team to Vegas so we can get an expansion team, or sell the team to somebody else, please. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I hope for a quick resolution on that, because Dumont is so bad and Nico is, you know, screwed up so much. You don't really have a chance to compete other than next year, probably for the next 5 to 6 years with the draft picks that they've lost. An aging, injury-prone roster.
Are we expecting more pro Luka MVP chants tonight as you sit from your couch and consume, or are you expecting to hear more fire Nico, bleep Nico, those type of chants? What are you expecting more of? Is the hate towards Nico more on fire tonight, or just the love for Luka?
I think it's going to be love for Luka. I think that's what the Mavs are banking on here with this rolling out of the red carpet that they're doing, because so many of those people there tonight left when Luka left. They want to come back tonight and rub it in the Mavs' faces by cheering for Luka. That's my read on what to expect.
This is my hope. Anthony Davis, when he was with the Lakers, he played the Pelicans and scored 41 points against his old team. That's what I'm hoping tonight. Anthony Davis.
Oh,
41 against the Lakers tonight. That's what I
honor Dirk that way. That's with an AD 41.
I'm cheering for Mavs. Cheering for Mavs, and I'm cheering for Anthony Davis to outscore Luka tonight in his team.
I love that, dude. I love that, because nobody's talking about the idea that this is actually going to be Anthony Davis night.
40 and 20 night?
He scored 41 points in a game when he played against the Pels.
I'm here part two?
Yeah.
That would be awesome, too.
Okay. Get us some milk.
Let's play some damn defense, though. You know, we were told that we had to make these trades because you couldn't play any defense, and that's what I hope to see tonight as well. Is you know, maybe some of these Mavs stepping up, accepting the challenge, and putting on a positive show for the Mavs.
I just want to see Mavs.
Did read an article today on Paige Bueckers, soon to be first overall pick of the Dallas Wings, and they're making the case in this story that while she didn't have the great career that Caitlin Clark did when it comes to the stats, that might be because she was surrounded by so many other great players at UConn. The freshman that was there, Azzie Fudd that was there. I mean, these two girls scored 24 points each in the national championship game. She only needed to put in 17.
Yeah.
But when they needed her, she'd go for like 35.
Yeah.
Her efficiency numbers from college line up with some of the greatest players to ever do it. The Maya Moores and all these. You know, her shooting efficiency is there, and her defense is really good. 3.5 steals per 100 opponent plays, and blocked 3% of opponent 2-point attempts. So she goes up there with some of the great WNBA guards of all time on the defensive side as well. Okay, so I just say that to say we lost Luka, but we're getting Paige Bueckers. Okay.
Woo!
And I don't know. That at least is a small consolation.
No, Eric, I did see the video of our gal playing against the guys and knocking down their shots.
Wasn't that ridiculous?
That's crazy.
Cleaned them up.
It's cartoonish.
Like they would like pass her the ball three dribbles and the ball was going up and in. Like it was crazy.
It was the most epic.
It was like fake generated basketball.
You feel like it's doctored.
Yeah. I felt like I'm like, this video is doctored.
So impressive, dude.
She was knocking them down, man.
Guys, have just been informed we got to take a break.
Oh.
Okay, got to clean up some spots here from having that afternoon Rangers game. So we'll step aside for just a few. We're coming back with LA Live, though. Lucius, where are you taking us today?
Yeah, I got a question for the Tolos about this Luka shirt.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Tip off in 45 minutes or maybe an hour. You know how those ESPN game goes, but it's scheduled for 6:30. Got an update on Twitter. Nico is courtside, and Jason Kidd said, some people are comparing it to the Babe Ruth trade, which is kind of cool. Does he realize we're the Red Sox in this equation? I don't know. Let's go into the Pimp Cup. Awful. Here's Lucius.
This is crazy. I can't believe this is even happening, bro. This is ridiculous.
Jeez.
Wow. All right, let's get into a Butt Naked Wednesday edition of LA Live right after Great Rick James.
But all right, you square.
It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk.
Hey, look at all this attention we're getting, though, you know?
Oh, hey. It'll make you dance for some of everything.
It's got to count for something.
Yeah.
Everybody get high.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing on this tour.
What'd you say?
What are you going to be doing on this tour?
I'm going to be doing Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, Living in America. Sex Machine, Get Up Off of That Thing.
Yeah.
I feel good. Jam.
Now, I understand that you already... James, I have to ask you one serious question here. I understand you already have started divorce proceedings. Does that mean that you're now eligible?
Yes, I'm eligible. I'm single. I want to mingle.
You want to mingle?
Yeah.
Now, the women love you when you get out there. Why do you think that is?
What'd you say?
The women love you when you get out there.
Why is that, ladies?
Well, I'm asking you.
Huh? Because I look good.
You look
good. I smell good. I feel good.
And you sing good.
And make love good.
Oh.
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 Well, there we are. We don't have to ask anybody else. We got that from the source. There you are.
It's Butt Naked Wednesday.
Dude, what's on?
A good anchor.
Bro, yeah, fantastic. James Brown was on one, bro.
Yeah, he was.
Looking like a Thundercat in that interview. his hair was standing straight up, brother.
People used to go on TV hammered a lot
just
more.
Just hammered.
Yeah.
Like Sly and the Family Stone. My man used to be hammered on television, just loose.
Yeah.
And it's the lady. Okay, matter of fact, let me just give you some more context to this. This happened April 4th, 1988.
Okay.
April 4th, like, that was not too long ago. Of this anniversary of James Brown drunken CNN interview or hot, whatever the hell. Anyway, that interviewer, bro, she had an ill-placed question right after he did all of that. Yeah!
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. It was a mean next question. Listen to this, bro.
You look smell good. I feel good.
And you sing good.
And make love good.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, there we are. We don't have to ask anybody else. We got that from the source. There you are. Now, you're involved in publishing a gospel magazine. Tell us a little bit about that.
Second Coming. It's out of Augusta, Georgia's Anchor. Joseph P. Young is the editor, and James Brown is one of the advisors. And we're doing a fantastic job. The Second Coming. It features on this week, I think we have the Pope and...
Wow.
I believe the Williams brothers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yep. Mm-hmm.
Sonya Live.
Great family.
Who could forget those brothers?
And make love. Yeah, though. What's some fools' names again? The Williams.
I believe the Williams brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. W brothers, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm very familiar, James.
Yes, of course.
I'm very familiar, James. Yeah! LA Live for Wednesday, April 9th, 2025. Luca's back in town. I seen him running around here looking like the Terminator. I seen it on Dallas, Texas TV when that big old Jeep boy, I seen you. It's a Butt Naked Wednesday here in LA Live. Welcome, people. Welcome, Tolos. Welcome, first-time listeners. Welcome, last-time listeners. Whoa!
We're in trouble.
The bed is real. Shout out to everybody on the interstates right now. I-20, I-30, I-45, I-35, 635. You scare me. Shout out to 822. Fort Worth, what up? Highway 75, 121, 183. Yeah! Shout out to Miss Badu, too. All praises due. I, too, was born underwater with $3, 6 dimes. Peace to the gods and earths. Hey, did y'all see Erykah Badu at that award show? With the big old booty hips and everything going on?
She had the whole BBL suit.
The whole BBL suit. Trolling Butt Naked Wednesday. I put y'all on!
Yes, you did.
I put y'all on!
I was in the loop. Thanks to Lou. Appreciate it.
I put y'all on, baby. If you were a Tolo, you knew what she was doing right there. Hold on.
What's hot is the butt implant. If you really want to rock somebody's world and make it in this business, you better get you an ass implant.
That's 2006! I put y'all on!
Oh, God, that is hilarious. Must be frustrating for those super talented artists, you know?
Gotta have some cheeks.
Gotta sell sex.
Yeah. LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. I couldn't find any inspiration for a question for the Tolos today because I usually ask it on a Wednesday, but damn, then the Mavs did me a favor. They dropped that Luka shirt. I said, I can't. That's not it. That's not it, fam. So I said, what should the Mavs shirt for Luka actually say? I asked this to the Tolas that follow me on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere else. What should the Mavs shirt for Luka actually say?
Give him hell, we'll be pulling for
him. Yeah, I'm mad at that
one. Shoot you, boy.
We effed you.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's something like that here. There's a variation of that in here.
Yeah.
One Tolo said the shirt should say, Michael Finley, this bud's for you.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good. Here's that one brought us. We effed up.
Yeah, we effed up.
I like that one. How about this one? Damn, damn, damn on there.
Yeah.
Florida Evans was the, she was the bad guy on Good Times too, by the way, if you know anything. She was a bad guy. Mm. She wanted that family down and out in the ghetto because she wanted to keep her family together. She was scared of growth. Where's JJ getting all this money? They had the black Jesus hanging up in the house, and the family just kept getting good luck, good luck, good luck. But that black Jesus was wearing it out. She said, no! Anyway, what should the Mavs shirt for Luka actually say? This one right here says, flop and whine.
Ooh.
I feel like that's okay. Like a, yeah. Okay. Ooh,
all right.
That's a Nico, that Nico defender.
Is that Dumont? Found his burner.
Found it.
Nico, downtown.
This one right here, I like this one. Be traded.
Oh.
Be traded.
That's a good headline.
That's a good one. Shout out to Colby Sapp.
Colby, good
Colby
job.
Sapp.
Yeah. Traded.
That's smart.
Yeah, I like that one.
Ooh, he's he's pretty sharp still for all those head wounds that he's taken over the years.
Hey, it's amazing.
Yeah, all this
trauma. It's amazing. I was doing a leg day to this one. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Oh, my God.
You PR'd, didn't you?
I went crazy, bro. And I got here, and I felt just like an old man in front of these young boys. Every time I sat down, it was... Every time I get up...
Hold up, give me a second.
Yeah, hold on, buddy. What should the Mavs shirt for Luka actually say? We lost a generational talent, and all we got is this lousy T-shirt.
Yeah, there you go.
I like this one, but I don't know what it means. Viva Luka Cabrones. Cabron. Now I've heard Cabron. That's like cousin, friend, buddy. It can mean other nefarious things like street guys or whatnot. But, you know, it's one of those words that you can flip-flop. I'm very familiar with that term. Terms of endearment, you know what I mean?
All right, Cabron. Yeah. I'm seeing like Mother Bleeper. I'm seeing Bastard.
God dog it, crap! Got me again.
Also seeing Dumbass.
What should the Mavs shirt for Luka actually say? Being a hero isn't always popular. Nico. Mm. Wow, there's two Nico defenders right here. How about this one? Sorry, bro. Pop's tripping again. Want me to ask for my bike back? What should the Mavs shirt for Luka actually say? Fire Nico was the number one answer on the board, by the way, y'all. Absolutely. Fire Nico. Mm-hmm. We love you, 77. My auntie said that Luka should have a shirt that says, I'm back, bitches!
Yeah.
Yeah. What about we MFFF'd ourselves?
I like that one. I'm not mad at that one. What should the Mavs shirt for Luka actually say? I can't see the Fantex. I haven't been able to see it all week. I don't know what's going on.
Oh,
there.
Dude, they switched up the.
Got me.
Like the email. You have like the email login is now all that extra security stuff.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's kind of a pain.
I don't know what's going on out there. All right, last one before I get out of here. What should the Mavs shirt for Luka actually say? Trade Nico. Trade Nico. Is Shippy doing a DJing tonight?
Yes. Yes, I believe so.
He ain't got no balls on him. That boy ain't got no balls on him. Lucius to get fired tonight. Yeah. Lucius to get fired tonight. They put Nico on the screen, and I'm going to hit him with that sock. You suck! You suck! You suck!
Bro, you would be a fan favorite forever, though. You'd have a GoFundMe that would pay the salary for the rest of life with Mavs.
Spotlight into the DJ booth.
Yeah.
And Lucius just
Take my hat off like I just played a baseball game.
That's it, y'all. I'm out of here.
I'll see you when they fire Nico.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll be back. All right, speaking of being back, I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's my time on a Thirsty Thursday. Shout out to the ladies. Got some stories for you. Got some stories for you. You can run, but you can't hide. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I'll holler. Peace.
Thank you, sir. We got 1 hour to go. L.A. Live with Lucius every night, 5:40 here on the G-Bag Nation. He usually does it for about 15, 20 minutes straight, but had some day baseball today, so we're going to clear out some inventory. Rangers score again. Did they get the win against Chicago, and who's the new injured guy? We got to talk about all these things. Go around the bases coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.